Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is Tim Olphy, CEO, president, and chairman of Vive Records. The company trades on the bulletin board, and the ticker symbol is VBRE. And Vive Records Incorporated conducts business as an artist and repertoire company, as well as an independent record label. Thanks for joining us today, Tim.
Okay. Nice to talk to you as well.
Great. Now, start off by talking to us about giving us a brief overview of the company and the business.
Well, I mean, in the ever-changing digital, media technology platform that's going out today, I worked for most of the major labels most of my career, and just as recently as last month, Sony Music, for instance, just gave away their whole catalog for 49 cents for everybody from Barbra Streisand to Billy Joel. And it's something that the industry kind of turned their cheek on and looked more to the legality than following the technology side, which we seek as our opportunity. And in fact, probably almost 12 years ago, I brought MP3 to Wall Street, and one of my conditions in the specifics in this new press release just came out with Vibe magazine is that I reserve the right for any known medium now known in the future. And back then, nobody knew what an MP3 was. Meanwhile, that IPO opened up, and it was like $235 million. The president, who I flew in from Seattle, Michael Robertson, was, leading the music industry before iTunes even stepped up to the plate, and Napster and the other companies. So we're somewhat different. We don't have all this baggage and just my background in working, in the music industry, from working at ASCAP, which is the Performing Rights Society, and then I worked at the retail for 5 years, helped sell a retail chain called Record World, then went on to move to work for Sony Music, which at the time was CBS Records. So I worked with everybody from Michael Jackson to Mariah Carey and Tony Bennett to Streisand. So, it was a great experience, great learning curve to, have that kind of background. And then I branched off onto my own, went to work for an independent distributed through a major, which is what we currently are. And you spend most of your time now with the digital technology world. We're more interested in the delivery of the content where most people are buying content. And that's where a lot of these major companies have failed. Warner Brothers, for instance, not to smear other companies, but these are big, multi-billion dollar companies that have now just like plummeted to the depths of doom, not to, make fun of it, but it's the technology that they're missing. So this digitization process, as we know it to be, is now transforming the movie industry as well as it is just toward the industry of the record business as we once knew it. So Vibe had this deal with Vibe magazine, and it started out with Quincy Jones, and we owned the prior intellectual property rights. So it was a settlement over 15, now it's 16 years later, that we survived, and now that what we're doing now is trying to combine different facets of the music industry, which it's done before. I worked with Russell Simmons, Lior Cohen, all the top guys in the industry starting out early in the rap business, and now Vibe as the label, we were somewhat getting tainted by the magazine, which was strictly hip-hop music. So we're in country music, which is still a major. It's about 18% of all the revenues in the whole music industry. They're real buyers. They don't download. They're loyal fans. And then, of course, the music of today, which is tweens. And I think your audience would know what a tween is, from the Jonas Brothers to
Hannah Montana.
Yeah. And so we're working currently with an artist named P-Star. She's a little 15-year-old rapper. She doesn't curse. She's got a workout DVD for obesity for young kids, and she's on the Electric Company. And then we have these country girls. It's the first mother-daughter group since the Judds. And it's a lot easier for us now that all these regulatory issues at radio have now been, squashed. It was at one point holding back our company as well, because everybody was underneath this, our friend Mr. Elliot Spitzer, and he went after the record industry. So the real issue is we still have to make hard copies of CDs and DVDs to ship to radio. But it's a lot easier for us to call and get to these nine markets nationally. And it's actually competing in direct with the same people that support independent marketing and promotion and publicity that the majors are using. So on a much more broader scope, we offer licensing deals instead of buying the masters from particular, like we call a marquee name act. So one of the kids I'm talking to is the guy that just starred in the Notorious B.I.G. movie. And these artists now own their own masters, and I split 50% with them on the wholesale price, which is distributed by EMI. So on top of all that, we're really into the merchandising side of T-shirts, the ticket business. We were in a company we're involved with. It's called NeverSoldOut.com. And we're not into trying to gouge pricing on tickets. We're trying to do text packaging. We had 150 pairs of the Jonas Brothers recently at Nassau Coliseum. And we want to basically get more into the text packaging, which is obviously technology. And that's American Idol's getting all their revenue besides Coke and Ford. It's really the text packaging on these ticket sales. And we want to give the kids an opportunity who can't get the tickets to text form and get them for, you know, for like a contest purpose rather than what just happened recently with Bruce Springsteen at Giant Stadium.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a big mess.
Yeah, and the ticket brokering business is not going to go away. I mean, it's just what it is. But, you know, they still have tickets for the concert. And even today I could get front row with Paul McCartney at the...
Well, if you stand out the outside the David Letterman, that Sullivan Theater, you can you know, catch him.
Yeah,
he gave an impromptu concert there yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, and so everyone else thinks the music industry is imploded and failed. We're of the complete opposite. We're into a company called Bit Gravity. That's a privately held company. It's like somewhat, you don't like to give trade secrets away, but these guys are transmitting actually even for Wall Street at 1080. Full broadband, you know, through the internet, digitized video content. So they'll do conference calls with many CEOs, and they could reach a large market of audience. And it's now not buffering or streaming; it's all direct HD quality. So that's one of the things that I've been on top of, which is the technology. And I don't, you know, not to bore your listeners, but to see Netflix buy TiVo, to see Circuit City go out of business, to see Best yeah. Buy down by 15%, where are these customers going? And Netflix did $1 billion in sales last year. And now, just even today, I hear Blockbuster giving away free, you know, subscriptions for a year. So, it, you know, the retail industry is obviously toast when it comes to, you know, getting records into the stores as we once knew it to be. So, therefore, we've got to apply to other avenues, which is still radio and it's still video, and it's so much more, I should say, the pricing and what was once called list pricing in the music industry is no longer a factor that was driving consumers out of the record stores. And, you know, I'm talking about specifically where they were charging $16.99, $17, $21.99. for a CD or a DVD that we pay 35 or 45 cents for with the shrink wrap, shoebox and stuff. So that part of the brick-and-mortar distribution business is yesterday. So what we're trying to do as an independent now is put together the fashion industry, the music, ticket sales, the merchandising, and I was, you know, very fortunate to be involved with a group way back, Public Enemy, Flavor Flav. I worked with Tupac Shakur. And as I finally got more out of the hardcore hip-hop business, I started working, you know, at the major labels, and that's where I got a much more broader experience to, you know, finding out how I could branch into my own business, which is what I did starting in 1999. So it's been a long road, and Wall Street was definitely a learning curve. For me, just even finding out what filings were and 15C211s and 8K 10Qs. So I think I've put together a staff and a board that's probably one of the most aggressive business savvy guys in the industry, and not just from a music point of view. The former head of Wachovia Bank,
Robert, yeah, they understand Ford, how to Jr. play the stock market game.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find out now. It's not about me focusing on the stock price. It's more about me focusing on the revenue and, you know,
right.
I see the impact of news every day, and it's most people would be frightened by, you know, the industry imploded, and now that the movie industry is feeling the same, I'm trying to branch out into a much bigger spectrum. And now you got the world as your audience, and the availability of information is on everybody's iPhones. So iTunes should have been knocked out by one of the four major record labels 10 years ago. You know, they're selling iPhones. They're not interested in selling music. There's no revenue in it. And I don't know if your listeners know that the most record labels would get 18 cents per download on an iTunes song, and that's no money to talk about. So that 49 cents I'm talking about with Sony, that shows you how low things could go. So, you know, that's one of the you know, future-looking aspects of where our company is heading.
So how many
public market?
How many competitors would you say that your company has in your sector? Like, as
well,
far as
one of the things I think that I've actually talked to the senior heads of Warner Music, and I came up with this hybrid contract about licensing that I mentioned before. And it's a major thing today for an artist to own its own masters. And they couldn't seem to figure out what it was that I was putting forward. So to answer your question, it's like I really don't have any competition. The phone's ringing off the hook, to tell you the truth. And that's another one of our companies. I've been a branding guy. I started at Madison Avenue. So Vibe was a brand I started with, which, you know, according to this press release.
Oh, Madman, huh?
Yeah, and to be, you know, like into a word, you know, I was fighting Time Warner and Quincy Jones while, you know, Ted Turner was selling CNN to Time Warner, and Time Warner was dumping Interscope Records for that Ice-T song, Cop Killer. So, you know, I didn't get into the music because of the gangster side of it, and I've always tried to be part of something positive. So it came up with this whole thing in my mind one day. It's a vibe. So it wasn't like it just, you know, came out like, you know, anyone else in a creative type environment. I was finally trying to figure out what to name the company. And next thing you know, I'm knocking on Quincy Jones's door and everybody at Time Warner, and they're like, how did this happen? So now that the magazine's gone in defunct, we tried to sit with the Wix Group, and they were one of the largest media hedge funds. And it was falling on deaf ears, as I state in the article. And, you know, now we're trying to speak to Mr. Jones directly because he wants the magazine back as an online company only. And those digital media rights that I'm speaking about that I reserved way back when, I don't think they, you know, it was a little bit ahead of the curve, so to speak. So now we're trying to see if we can bridge the gap without all the attorneys in the middle of it. And, you know, the amount of money that was spent is beyond what even Wall Street would even look at. So it's private. So now with the public company, I'm on the acquisition phase. So that's what we're focusing on mostly, and that's ancillary income and revenue from, you know, the entertainment industry is always going to survive. People just want to be entertained, music, I don't care what it is. And the DVD is what I'm saying is the next fatality in the music industry.
And yeah, that's certainly true. And what would you say differentiates Vive Records from other players in your sector?
Well, part of it is you have to be somewhat, not to quote Mr. Jones, but we've had a connection for all these years. But, you know, he was asked once, how do you make a hit record? And he started, his first response was the song, the song, the song. So it's very easy for me to have our own recording facility, and we're not trying to just use this technology that's being forced upon us. We're combining, you know, recording, you know, technology that was of the past with today's technology. And if you know what's good music and what these kids want, I'm always quoting the Kinks. I don't know if your listeners, they got to be closer to my age, and you got to give the people what they want. And not that difficult to find a real good song with a great artist, and I can get this turned around in much quicker time than they ever could, and it was always by staff, by committee. And my famous quote in the music industry is, I don't know, what do you think? So if you got to reinvent the wheel all the time, it's not getting the records to the people that want to hear the music. And then once the music gets out there, the listeners will appeal to it if you know what the market's calling for. It's almost stock market, to tell you the truth.
Go ahead, I'm sorry?
It's somewhat like the stock market. I mean, once news starts getting it spreads like wildfire that this is, you know, people just start calling response, and radio stations are still going after that. And I think where the industry has failed to understand, even on the Internet, is the advertising revenue is not what people thought it was going to be. You know, and having started in advertising, that's why the Best Buys and the Circuit Cities, they survived only because of co-op advertising. But now you got radio stations that are competing with Sirius and XM, and you know, it's still about they got to pay, they have to generate the ad revenue and the ratings. So, you know, it's like a cyclical whole thing, but music is going to sell, and the Jonas Brothers is, you know, it's just like you said about Paul McCartney on last night. They're talking about the Jonas Brothers, and there was the Beatles 45 years ago on the same stage. So, you know, it's the kids are way too much savvy than most parents even begin to will ever realize, tell you the truth. And that's my assumption, anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Blu-ray. Especially now with all the technology. Yeah, it's you know, 10, 12 year olds know a lot more than we do, certainly.
And to give your listeners just a insight, a Blu-ray DVD is just 2 nanoseconds. So a nanosecond, everybody knows from going back to, you know, Star Trek. But 2 nanoseconds is just better high quality, and now HD. Being able to be delivered directly at 1080, which is just a rate for HD, as it's described, you could download right into your BIOS. You know, they're now giving you 1 gig DVRs on your cable boxes. So it's becoming where once people with TiVo, people really want to have the home theater. They want to get back to the family environment. And nothing against movie prices. It's nothing like a movie experience. But now you could, you know, it's not just pay-per-view. They want the actual product themselves. So I was a bit stunned that people were getting a billion DVDs from Netflix. But now that's changing with Netflix acquiring TiVo. So these kind of companies obviously have got much more revenue and much more money to come at. But I guess the real answer to your question is I don't have that turnaround time that most record labels now have just cut staff by, you know, ridiculous amounts. So it's not even, they don't even know how to go out and promote and get their records heard or listen or get them to the consumers.
Definitely.
Which is the million-dollar question.
Yeah, that,
get the product to the consumer, and the consumer is the cell phone. And the consumer, it's not ringtones. And all these third-party aggregators, I don't know if that's above your audience's understanding, but an aggregator is a third party that will provide a ringtone to someone. And like I described in iTunes, at 18 cents, where's the profit? Where's the revenue? You know, it's dwindled to the point that you can't cover the overhead of these big, huge companies. And that's why you see much more touring going on and a lot of big money going into, like, at once was at one point, especially when I started in the industry.
Right. And you talked a little bit about the management. And,
yeah.
So what specific goals and objectives has the management team set for the company over the course of the next year? Or,
yeah.
Or what does it hope to accomplish?
One of the blessings for me has been an association with the former co-head of Wachovia Bank, and he handled one of the third largest bank mergers in the United States. And when I went to visit him, he actually was an investor, in our first private placement that I did. And I thought he was a branch manager of a bank in Charlotte, and I went to visit him, and there I was on the top floor of the Wachovia Center, and at that time, a $699 billion company. And he's been pretty much our mentor, always trying to lead us in a direction, not falling on the sword, as he would state. And, you know, Vibe Magazine went through this 6 years ago with this Wix Group company, and it was quite obvious. We didn't know anything about the magazine business, so why did we want to try to acquire the magazine? But what we were trying to do is protect those rights. So pretty much what's happened, as most people understand, branding is everything. And this amount of money that went into branding this name, Vibe, is still out there. And it's you know, you mention it, and it's like talking about whether you're talking about Sprint or Coke or whatever brand you want to do. It's like the amount of people now that the affiliation with just the name alone, which I refuse to surrender, has been bringing us to where now we're focusing on, you know, other acquisitions, radio stations, gospel music, areas where they're not bootlegging, downloading, and, you know, pilfering the revenues of a label. So, and I've done five major clothing deals. I used to work at Macy's way back when I started my career. So to answer your question, the management wants in the next 6 months the projections on the company based on us tying in all these different revenue stream models, which is one of them is off-the-hook records, off-the-hook models. I've got this company I'm trying to talk with right now, Jumpstart TV. Like I mentioned before, Bit Gravity. It's all technology, and we ultimately can deliver video content now at a much cheaper rate, and that's because of the quality that's coming now with digitization and the new digital equipment. But that hasn't changed the record industry. That's one of the things I think has been the fault. It's, you know, it's the smaller companies like Sam Ash and Guitar Center that are selling kids these recorders for $500. Meanwhile, my software, my studio is $75,000, and my console was once worth $400,000. So you can't make records on toys. You know what I mean? That's one of the things. The kids like to get quick results, and that's why the Xbox and the PlayStation and, you know, all that Blu-ray stuff, they really had a smart concept to get to the kids, and these kids were into Blu-ray before anyone knew what Blu-ray meant.
Right.
So, and 3 years ago, I knew what Sony Blue was, but it wasn't called Blu-ray at the time, and those patents really hold the industry by a stranglehold, so it's only two manufacturers that make Blu-ray, and that's because of the patent. So, you know, it's changing, because people have now buy discs, 100 for $15.
And I'm right, sure, yeah, the cost certainly has a big big effect on it.
Yeah, and then, you know, iTunes, as I said, they're not selling music as much as people want to buy songs at 99 or $1.39. The labels aren't making any money, so therefore then the artists aren't getting any revenue. So that's where we're kind of like filling the gap, because I can bring marquee name acts, such as the guy from Run DMC, people that have been already successful in the industry who are looking for these avenues where it's just about getting their digital content, because it's still their creative content that they want to be able to own now that there's, you know, everything's gone crazy and it's like the wild, wild west in the music industry now.
Right. Now,
part of that, I just want to conclude as like a statement, is that, you know, this peer-to-peer and this buying of content and the major labels focusing on the legality issue was all important, but at the same time, they weren't keeping their eye on the ball. So small companies like me come along, and now that we're distributed through EMI worldwide, you know, it's a lot quicker for me to not be caught up in the red tape and all the politics.
Certainly. Now, in terms of the investor side of it, Tim, do you think that right now investors understand the general direction of Vibe Records?
I think the more that you navigate our website and you start seeing where the revenue models are coming, it would be, you know, one thing that I've learned in the entertainment industry is it's like it's just part of the excitement of, you know, being in the industry and knowing how to get your product to the right sources, and then it just snowballs, just like I said earlier. And the word of mouth is really how records start to begin and start to explode. A record like Lady Gaga that's out there, I mean, people are like, well, who's Lady Gaga? You know, and Daisy Dukes I brought to, you know, I brought more records to major labels. They all passed on it because they could never understand the technology, nor the, they were music people. So the business for us, I think, you know, I'm looking at my computer while I'm speaking to you, and Billboard's new digital edition's coming out. So, you know, with the Kindle and everything that's going out there, it's, you know, the books, everything's changing. So you got to be there with the changing times, but, you know, you still need the product that the consumer wants. So, and if that gives you a former, you know, more formal answer to everything, but it's, we're focused exactly to where the revenue model is and where the income is to come from.
Right. And no, it's, yeah, it's certainly a very clear model. And now, once again, joining us today is Tim Olfi, CEO, President, and Chairman of Vibe Records. And the company trades on the bulletin board. Ticker symbol is VBRE, and is currently trading at 20 cents a share. And so before we conclude, Tim, what are some of the key reasons why Vibe Records represents a good long-term investment opportunity to potential investors?
Well, to tell the truth, other than Warner Brothers, which was the first record company to ever go into the public market, I think that as we start to gain notoriety and, you know, it's not necessarily like we said earlier about the stock price, but the revenues that we're going to start generating from being able to go out and launch a career and some of the professionals, I mean, there's so many people that are coming to us. And I think that from an outside point of view, for a company to be in a small cap, you know, business, I'm really looking to find where the next breakthrough is in technology, and we will have our finger on that pulse. And whether that's in the form of a device that a kid, for instance, his parents want, instead of having three different video games, they have a storage medium that they can put all their video games on versus having all these other different complicated and expensive. It's obviously not cheap for these games, and now they got the new headset that's coming on, whether it's using alpha waves. I mean, I don't know if you know about that, but, you know, when you got your finger on what these kids want, to me, that's ultimately where we're going to be heading with the company going forward, because, you know, it just becomes a big business. And, you know, I was involved with New Kids on the Block, and I was an inventory clerk at Sony Music, and I'd be inventorying Tower Records, and every week we'd see 3, 4, 5 copies in, you know, 25 stores in New York City alone. And next thing you know, they opened up for a group, and the young lady was named was Tiffany, and people are calling me, asking me for tickets. And I'm like, well, we don't represent Tiffany. So I actually went to the show, and they came out, these kids, and boom, these girls were all screaming. And 32 million records later, and the record industry just, for some reason, never gotten their pulse on ever finding another New Kids, and then the Jonas Brothers comes along. So, I mean, you talk to insiders in the music industry, they'll tell you American Idol is the record industry now.
So, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And when Vibe failed to get into, and I'm talking about the magazine, failed to become the competition to iTunes, that's where we're heading. And that's why I think this company's got incredible growth. There's nothing that Steve Jobs is doing that I can't pick up a phone and get Sony, Arista, BMG, EMI, all the record labels. Most consumers don't care what record or record label's on. The bottom line is they want to be able to have access to it, and it's still not a competitor to iTunes. So we're different than most labels because I'm not just pigeonholed into an artist development company with off-the-hook records. We're going to be building a platform for selling all music, all formats, DVDs, CDs, Blu-rays. But more importantly, the brand, building it up from the street level to the consumer, that's how things start to, you know, blossom. And obviously, these discussions we're having with Quincy Jones, I can't speak in definitive terms yet, but I think it's time that we finally, you know, he was a music guy before he got into the publishing business, and then publishing guys were running the magazine, and the magazine didn't have a clue about the music industry. So they could have been the next competitor to iTunes, and basically that's what we're going to be focusing on. And it's just not one area of revenue, like I said, not just music. It's merchandising, tickets, modeling, and that's why I think the company's got exciting and forward-looking growth.
Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors today.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time, Juan. And I'm available anytime. Anyone wants to. It's one thing as a CEO, it's hard to reach. I answer every phone call that comes to me, especially from potential investors that want to speak, and including Mr. McCoy. You know, we're trying to keep transparency in this industry, and we're not trying to do anything but give people just any information they'd like to know about, you know, with all the disclaimers that go with safe harbor rules.
Right. Well, yeah, that certainly, you know, that certainly does go a long way, you know, being able to, you know, reach a CEO directly.
Yeah.
And, you know, hear the message directly from, you know, and the story directly from you.
And then you guys will be eventually seeing us really coming out with a full-blast campaign with the video platform that for all the broker-dealer conventions I've been to and everybody's PowerPoint presentations, we're definitely raising the bar here, and the technology is going to be to our advantage. To anyone who wants to view what we talk about and getting the word out to everyone so that it's accurate information, and that's pretty much where we want technology, because that's where everyone is right now. And to tell my last thing, I don't even use a BlackBerry. Imagine, with all the technology out there, I'm the hardest person to reach. I only return the calls that are of importance.
Right.
It really comes to the, it's too much information coming. The consumer's getting so much clutter out here. So Bob McCoy yells at me all the time, I can't get you on the phone. Well, it's because we own off the hook.
Right. Well, do you have an iPhone?
A little upbeat statement there at the end.
I know, a little Samsung.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, great.
Thanks for your time, and I hope to speak to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for the update, Tim, and we look forward to, like I said, continuing to track your story.